Professor Daniel's going to come up and share with us for a few more minutes to take on the discussion.
All right, well, at risk of getting totally sick of my voice, this will be brief, and hopefully it will just spark a discussion rather than being a one-way process. But what I was going to present on is a document that I wrote for UN Habitat in 2010, and it's meant to summarise all these issues and provide specific practical guidance on land issues in a natural disaster context. But it's a very long presentation, so I won't go through it. Just to say that it will be available, and then that's the reference for the larger document. What I do want to talk about, though, quickly is since 2005, we've had the humanitarian cluster system at work, and the key cluster arrangements, as we know, are A, shelter, B, protection, human rights protection, and C, early recovery. And so Victoria mentioned that the urban context, the land issue was being handled by shelter, but then in the rural context for coconut farmers, it's been handled by early recovery. And then, in my view, this is one of the problems that have arisen from the cluster system, and I think the cluster system has more advantages than disadvantages. But if you're not a cluster, you're a cross-cutting issue, like land, like gender, it's very easy to fall in the gaps. And I really see this with land, that it's more than a shelter issue, it's more than a protection issue. It cuts across different clusters, but it is. People are talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And I'll give you an example. With Typhoon Haiyan, I mean, there's been so much learning that disasters disproportionately impact renters and informal settlers. They also disproportionately impact women, particularly widows and female-headed households. And yet, in your basic needs assessment that occurred after the disaster, there was no questions on tenure status. If you delve into the census data, as Victoria did, you'll see that in the affected regions, we're looking at around 30% plus of those affected by the disaster are renters or informal settlers. In Tacloban, the numbers of those affected is even higher in those categories. So we need to identify early on the tenure status that is a large element of vulnerability. And I just want to explain why they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable for a number of reasons. One is that the experience in Aceh, and it'll be the same here in the Philippines, is that you have the temporary shelters in the bunkhouses, the barracks in Aceh, and you have limited leases over this land, and they want to clear them out. And we went to, we sort of said, well, there's still 20,000 families in there. Why haven't they gone home? I mean, all these houses have been rebuilt. They were the renters and the informal settlers, and we hadn't captured them in the needs assessment process. And it was just a very poor performance. And we thought lessons had been learned from that. Early on, get data on these people, because they're going to be the residual shelter group, right? Because most shelter programs are geared towards owner-occupiers. You need dedicated rental housing programs, social housing programs, from the start, in order to ensure that these vulnerable tenure status groups are not in your residual category in the temporary shelters. But the data assessments, we still don't have clear data from the Philippines. Same thing happened in Cyclone Nargis in Myanmar. is that anyone with the knowledge of land relations in that area would have known that it was a highly feudal system underlaying the socialist type arrangements, and that in fact, up to 60% of affected agricultural households were agricultural tenants, tenant farmers, and yet that was not captured in the needs assessments, and there was no dedicated land advisor until, there's a bit of talk about the issue. So the first point I want to make is that, that the humanitarian cluster system is creating assessments based on the clusters rather than addressing some of these cross-cutting issues. It's not just ventures and informal settlers. I think we're lacking in gender disaggregated data, baseline data as well. And people talk the talk, but when it comes to the crunch, there's a limited number of questions in the needs assessments, and these issues are being pushed out. This is the structure of the guidelines. We've got a whole bunch of stuff on assessments, planning, and coordination.